time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, well, I'm bundled up this morning. I don't know if you can tell it or not. I've got a sweatshirt on. My granddaughter, Reese, came down, spent the night with me last night. Reese did, and David did. It's cold here today, so coming down here in my multi-million dollar studio, the heat isn't quite up to the degree that it normally would be. So I got on my Jesus Trumps Trump or whatever, something like that. What did it say, Reese?
Nobody
can trump Jesus. I got my Nobody Can Trump Jesus sweatshirt on today. It's cold. We're shivering. You know, it's amazing. It's below zero today. Let me see right here real quickly. Wherever you guys are, it's probably cold where you are, too. Don't get me wrong. I want to show you something. There it is.
Hebron. It's colder in Antarctica.
It's 4 degrees here. Minus 4 here today. It's going to be 56 on Monday. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? It's going to be 56 here on Monday. And it's minus 4 today. Global warming, global cooling. They can't figure out exactly what's going on. Welcome. Thanks, all of you, for joining. Boy, our crowd's down today. Maybe Jared's not letting y'all in there. So if you're out there listening on your phone or you're listening someplace else, come on, come to Coach Dave Live. Jump in the queue and get right in here with us, and let's mix it up here together. I want to say publicly, before the day gets away from me, I'm not a great letter writer, note writer, thank you note guy. I think that people know that I appreciate what they do. But I just want to say again publicly, I want to thank Denny Ryan for what he did in Iowa last weekend. And I want you all to know that he did not do it without some personal expenses associated with it. And I want you to know, Denny, how much we appreciate it. And my email, my phone, I continue to hear people who have great fruit from what you did, Denny. And it'll be beyond what you even know. And it's going to be beyond what you even know right there in Iowa as well. So if the weather had been 70 degrees, we'd have had 500 people probably. But, you know, it was 0 degrees Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And we still had 150 or 200 people turn out. And as Denny told me, a lot of them weren't the same people that were there the last time. So that tells me that, something's really, really big and good going on there in Iowa. And Denny, I want to tip my hat to you again. I want you to know that we appreciate it. My wife's better at writing thank you notes than me. Just know this. If you donate to us, you help us, we're grateful. We're grateful. And if you're mad because I didn't send you a thank you note, man, it's just got a lot going on. Reese jumped in. Now David wants to say hi to everybody here. This is why I fight these two guys right here. Say hi to everybody, Dave. Talk to him.
Hey.
See, my name's David Kladittlehoff. There he is, man. I got to get them off there because that face recognition stuff. So, hey, there you go, man. Go ahead. You guys run upstairs and make me some food. I'll be up there. Hey, we're starting a fast on Sunday at 6 o'clock. We brought that up yesterday, and I want to make sure that I reemphasize that and actually dedicated more of the show to it yesterday than I meant to. But it's good. And as we get into the fast, you know, I cut Victor off at the knees yesterday when he got on there. He started talking about cocaine power and put this in there with a little bit of this. That's easy, crimey, Vic. I said, just start fasting, and then we'll coach you as we get through it. Okay, so Victor, I didn't mean to kick you in the shin. Just was kind of where I am. So let's gear up. For those of you who can, we're going to start on Sunday. So Monday morning when we come in here, we will be heading into our fast. Let me. Boy, my grandkids distracted when they came down here. Panama City. Jared, I didn't give you any notice. Can you pull up that flyer that was created? Mark Trump created a flyer. Do you have that, Jared? I think you do. That flyer that Mark Trump created. We are going to Panama City. We're hoping to take at least 40 of us. 40 of us. That's a hunk of folks, isn't it? And those of you who can't go, we would appreciate if you could support our efforts, because we're making a commitment of probably about $10,000 to the event. There it is. Thanks, Jared. Disaster relief effort, Panama City, Florida, CoachDaveLive.com. Mark Trump put all this together. And as again, we're going to put about 40 people on the ground. We've got up to six, maybe seven pieces of equipment that we're going to take with us. And it's great. Mercy Ministry. Mark, I see you in there, Mark. Mark, just kind of fill us in here a little bit, Brett, on some of these details rather than me always being the guy blowing my horn about it. Can you jump in here, Mark?
Sure, absolutely. I'm working with Jim Kraft to identify how many people can stay in the church. But, yeah, that's us, three of us there. That was our first trip together.
Gary Donahoe's there in the middle. Jim Kraft on the left in the blue shirt. Mark's the hillbilly there with the saw in his hand. And then Gary Donahoe's in the middle.
That's right. But, Coach, it was just amazing.
Look at the trees, folks. Look at the size of the tree behind those guys.
Yeah, I remember when we showed up there, that tree was out actually over the road. So we're standing well down within the driveway of this man's house, and he actually had a building in his swimming pool. And he had had trees fall on his well, so he had no water. He still had trees laying on buildings, and those were looking at being moved. But we got here, and this is the way it was. So it was us three. We didn't have any equipment. And the church, this is all the jobs they had left. So Gary, me, and Jim went to places, and we just saw it was just devastation everywhere. So we knew we needed equipment. And here's another site. I remember there were 16. Yeah, Coach, and there were 16 of us that went this time. This was our the second half of the first day on site. And we had Craig Fawcett with his machine this time. So this was my second trip down. And this lady, this was her brother's home. But this lady had seven family members that had this type of damage. So what we don't understand that here is that this woman was elderly. Her son was unable to do any work. And they didn't have insurance. So most of these people that we're working with don't have insurance. So here's a home that couldn't be fixed until this tree gets removed. And they didn't have insurance. All the other trees, I think there were 16 trees. That one you see to the right there leaning, not the one on the home, the one leaning. We had to figure out a way to cut that without
falling.
That's right. So we actually had a tractor, if you could envision it, on the other side of this whole yard, pulling those trees down.
Don Marshall from New Jersey brought his down. Yes, sir.
That's right. And then this big tree, we couldn't hardly move it. That's probably, I don't know, 10 tons or more. So we had Don hooked to this tree that you're seeing. And this lady was underneath my arm as he pulled. And as we pulled it down, those rafters, that roof sections, these bricks all got, you know, damaged. And this lady just is about ready to collapse crying. So I just stood there and cried with her. So that's what you need to know, is you get to change people. They're vulnerable. And then you can just talk about Jesus and what he's done for us.
Amen.
So each one of us got to talk and witness to the neighbors and the people who would come and talk to us. But more importantly, it wasn't about all the people we didn't get to. I mean, it was only 16 of us. And at this trip, we were there 4 days. The first day we did two homes, two places. We worked a day and a half at this home. The next day we did four. The next day we did five. And the next day we did six. We left there having done just a whole pile of good for people. But moreover, is if this happened at your house, you know, we kind of know how to do this now. So we go home in our communities enabled. We go home ready. And these homeowners and folks can now rely on us, because innately we're going to respond. If something happens, Gary and Jim, I mean, they're going to be able to help their neighbors, and it gives you that way. So Another thing, Coach, is if we look at the numbers, if there has been Jim was down there alone, then it was three of us, then seven, then 16. And this trip, I had eight people in basically one day commit to go from Iowa. So Denny's out there. He's doing this great work in Iowa. And we went to, you've heard about the amazing things. Eight people, or eight men and eight folks are going back with us. So if you think about our next trip, I think I figured it up in Excel on the trend curve. There's at least 60 or 70 people after this trip of 40 in February. So, of course, we're working with the church. We need a place to sleep and eat and so forth. But all that's going to be taken care of by God and the people, you know, who's coming. Be thinking about, if you can't make this trip, think about donating. Think about others who can, to maybe take a seat in a truck on the way. We have people coming from all over. Don Marshall's going to swing by and hopefully pick up Larry. We had a call from a guy in Virginia Beach who saw the message, Gus Villies. He's going to possibly bring some landscaping equipment. It's undetermined what he wants to bring. He just wants to come. Coach has a friend from high school, a guy named Rodney. And by the way, folks, did y'all know our coach was an amazing basketball player, possibly an All-American baseball player? You know, he sits there all humble, not wanting any credit for anything. But, you know, just even way back in high school, he was an amazing person. So I'm not lifting him up to for any purpose other than, you know, he's out here helping us. He's got the same type of mentality as folks remember him from way back in high school. We bring in a person who's, you know, got issues at home, maybe drug problems and this and that. And he believes that this ministry is the real deal. That man who's been around Craig and me under this ministry, he wants to go to Panama City. He's headed down there now. He's headed to Florida now so that he'll be ready when I get there. And we all get there in February. So the call is there. Do what you can. Let people know about it. We got this flyer. Put it in the link in the chat. Pass it out. We're going back. Let people know we're going back. Jim wants to go back maybe in March or April. I definitely want to plan for about 100 people in June or July. But don't wait. Don't wait. We don't know what's going to happen between now and June or July. But I appreciate you letting me talk about this, Coach.
I'm honored you would do it, Mark. And listen, we need 100 people to give $100. That's $10,000. That's what we think it's going to cost. And with that $10,000, we pay everything. We pay a guy's trip down. We feed them while they're here. We take care of all their expenses. We think that a workman is worthy of his wages. So if you're out there and you said, you know, I'd like to come, Coach, but I just can't swing it. We'll give you gas money. We will help you get down there. We will take care of you on the ground. And that's why we think we can take $10,000 and we think that we can turn that into $200,000 in labor. Mark, the truth is we know this. Those homes still have trees on them. And if they recall a company to come and do the removal, it's probably in the neighborhood of $5,000 per home to have that done. FEMA's not doing it. Red Cross isn't. There isn't anybody doing it. So minimum. We bring all these people down. Minimum. That's right. We bring all these people down with all of this equipment, and then we pick up all of their expenses to come down, and we turn that into, well, if you can find another organization that's doing that, do it. There's no graft. There's no money coming off the top of it. Nobody's lining their own pockets. These are volunteers that come down, and we simply feed them, house them, help them to shower, help them get down there. And so maybe you, even right now in your Sunday school, maybe you, when you go to your Sunday school class this Sunday, maybe you could take up an offering. Maybe you could go to your pastor and ask your pastor to take up an offering for us. 100 people giving $100, and we got it, man. We got it. My wife walked down here for something. Jared, my wife says she's only getting yesterday's show for some reason. I don't know what that.
Okay, shouldn't have said no. He had to refresh it. Okay, so good. I want to move on. We're going to go back down there, okay? And I take my hat off, first of all, to Jim Kraft, who got the whole thing going and went down sacrificed. Golly. Did a lot of Jim's just one of those guys, man. He does it behind the scenes. He doesn't want any credit for it, but he did it, and he got the ball rolling down there. And Mark's been down there a couple times. Don Marshall's driven all the way from New Jersey. This will be the third time Don Marshall's driven. It'll be the third time Craig Fawcett has driven down from Wisconsin. And I know I'm probably forgetting other people. Guys, this is a great opportunity for you to rub shoulders with other Christian men. Chad Estes is the one that called a church camp for adults, and it really, really. And, you know, Mark Trump has made a lifelong friend out of Craig Fawcett, and it would never have happened had he not gone down, cut up some trees. That's just the reality.
Amen. Amen.
And the relationships that are developing, Mark called me last night just as we were getting ready to go to bed. Not he and I, we went to bed together. Mark called me last night and, just said, Coach, there's something really, really big going on with this whole pass the salt huddle. There's something really, really big going on. And, you know, we all play different roles. Denny has lung issues. He's on oxygen. Denny, he of all people, he could say, I just can't do it. But he's working the hardest, doing just what he can right where he is. Just do what you can do. And if we all do that and all have different jobs and we all complete those jobs, it's going to be amazing what we get done. So, God bless. We'd love to have all. Hey, if you can get that flyer, share that. You guys can help us. $10,000, man. Help us do it. We're going. Come no matter what, we're going to go. And God bless you for helping us out. Listen, I want to point out something else to you. This is just breaking news, sort of. On February 23rd, put that down in your calendar book, and then we'll get more information. I've been working with a group of people. It's really kind of being headed up by the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, and some others that are working with her as well. February 23rd in Albany, New York. New York, Albany, New York is the capital city of the state of New York. And then on February 23rd in Albany, New York, there is going to be a rally, pushback, whatever you want to call it, against the slaughter of unborn children in New York. There's going to be a lot of people there. In fact, they're thinking, Elizabeth's hoping, that this is going to spill over into local rallies as well. And so February 23rd, I know some of you, I'm thinking the surge, and some of you guys are up in that New York area. This is a great opportunity, one that's close for you that you're going to be able to get there and do something with. We are not organizing it, but we are going to be part of it, and we're going to try to encourage people to get there. And I emphasize this weekend, we got to pick. Hey, folks, we got to start fighting where we can win. We got to start having some home games. What are you talking about? We can win in Iowa. We can win in Ohio. We can win in Mississippi. We can win in those blue states. We got to start pushing the ball in the red state. What are they? I colors are wrong. The red states. Those little states that we can win, we gotta start winning there. Because see, if we can establish a beachhead, if Iowa would stand up and say no more abortions in Iowa, it will spread just the same as you. I don't know if you saw this now. Other states are following the lead of New York. New York wants to murder babies up to up to birth. Now Connecticut wants to do it, and Virginia wants to do it. Well, why don't we, church, take that momentum and go the other way? Say, okay. If they can make their own laws regarding abortion in New York, we're going to make our own laws regarding abortion in Iowa and in Texas and in Ohio. That's what we want to do. So February 23rd, Albany, New York. I'll get more details for you as we progress. Anybody want to add anything to that? Man, we're 20 minutes already. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Hey, good morning.
Oklahoma,
hey,
too.
I was hoping you'd talk about that because – about a month ago when Randy, Paul, and Al and I met and did some planning for the year, we talked about going down to the Tulsa City Council, which we're going to do this Wednesday. And we're going to basically ask them why they need to, or that they need to enforce the law of not murdering babies in Tulsa, which is already on the books. And I just encourage everyone in the huddle, do that in your local town. That's something that everyone can do. Go down and have a spokesman. You know, in Tulsa, you have to you have to get put on the agenda. So you have to do that like 3 days in advance, coach. But wouldn't that be great if everyone in the huddle went down to their local city council and demanded that they start enforcing the law?
Brother, the laws are on the books, right? And let's come out from this facade. The mask is off, this idea that the Supreme Court has legalized abortion everywhere. We know right now that the abortion laws are being changed in states all across America. We see it happening right now. We know that the marijuana laws are being changed in states all across America. We know different states have different handgun laws. Folks, listen, this idea that the Supreme Court can tell all of us what we're going to do. Not in Iowa, Denny. Not in Iowa, they're not going to. That has to be our attitude. They're not going to tell us what to do. And our elected officials are only going to move when we force their hand. And that's what we got to be. We got to be the water under the boat. That's something that JR said, a few years ago, told me that, man, we got to be the water under the boat. We got to be what the church has to be, the water that the government floats on. And we have not been doing a very good job.
Dave, I want to get in here a second. Okay, talking about this, the Texas has one of that same bill that New York's going, Senate Bill 150. So look, what I can see from this is a nationwide campaign. Okay, while we've been talking about the wall, they've been getting ready for session and having their congressmen, senators, and representatives introduce these bills into their collective houses of a government. Okay, we don't have anybody pushing the agenda for us, so to speak. That's what our weakness is. What are we going to stop? I mean, Texas even has the one, as you saw on Steve Quayle, there's four of them out by LGBT filed in Texas saying that we're discriminating, Christians are discriminating against LGBT. And I was like, duh.
Yeah, that's right, Chad. We just sit back and we let them do it. We never run a play, Jared. By the way, Jared, I just sent you an email. I forwarded you one that David Arthur just forwarded to me. I thank you for that, David, because I was going to use that. Jared, open up that link for me and get this couple videos there. I want people to see. I feel somebody wants to come in. No, we got to start pushing back. Okay. We've got to begin to understand states' rights. That's what I talked about when I was in Iowa. States' rights, and several things I'm going to get to here in a second. But David just sent this to me, and I meant to bring this up and forgot to do it. So God bless you, David. Thanks. Virginia's—they go nuts. They're going nuts, folks. They just want to kill, 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 kill. I've never seen anything like it. I got two videos here to show you. Virginia lawmaker—that's down your area, Mark. Virginia lawmaker wants to make child sacrifice easier. Virginia lawmaker Kathy Trans, cold-blooded and thankfully defeated. She tried to introduce some legislation yesterday. And there it is, Jared. Pull that up there. And I want you guys to listen to this woman who wants to introduce a bill that will allow you to slaughter children. And somebody on the panel asks her questions. And listen to this as they pin her down. Hey, you looking at me? There's a devil loose, boys and girls. There's a devil loose. And the Bible says that all those who hate me love death. Why do these people hate children so much? Go ahead and play that, Jaron.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician would simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
So the way the suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the, with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians.
She doesn't want to answer. They always want to sneak it in. They don't want to answer. So he's asking her, how late can you kill the baby? That's what he's asking her. And she just doesn't want to come out and say it because she knows it's wicked. Go ahead, Jaron.
Witnesses were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking about your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Do you understand that? Her bill would allow the baby to be aborted on its way out. Jared, scroll on down. These are ghouls. These are demons. Where is the church? Where are Christian people rising up and saying no? Now, here's the Virginia governor. This is the governor of Virginia. Listen to this dude. Listen to what he says they're going to do to a baby. See, they always like to say handicap, sick, no. Health of the mother. And see, they just zeroed in on that other wicked woman talking about mental health. In other words, at the last minute, she decides that she doesn't want to have a baby mentally. She just didn't know if she can do it. So let's go mental health. Go ahead and kill her. And doesn't even have to be a doctor there. They're just a health professional, whatever that means. And so they pin this governor down on a radio station, and they're asking him, what happens if the baby's born? Listen to this doublespeak.
No exception. There was a very...
These guys are ghouls! These people are ghouls! Come on, church! Go ahead, Jared.
Contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, Jared. So in other words, a doctor chooses death. This is what health professionals. How can anybody that murders a baby be called a health professional? Go ahead.
Mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, the government.
This is a born baby. He says it's blown out of proportion. We're talking about a born baby laying on a gurney and then making the decision whether to keep it alive or not. This is what they're taught. I thought it was about a woman's right to choose. I thought it was about what a woman could do with her own body. Well, now the baby's outside of the body, and it clearly isn't her body anymore. And this ghoul, elected official, wants to say it's okay. Go ahead and play it. Finish it out, Jared. Come back.
Not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers.
Hey, folks, what decision? The baby's born laying on a gurney And they're now wanting to make a decision? What's that decision? Give us Barabbas, life or death. That's what they're talking about. Go ahead.
And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling
her
what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in?
Boys and girls, don't buy that rhetoric. Now listen, do you hear him say that? Most of which are men. By the way, hey, dude, hey, Gov, the baby's laying on the gurney. Hey, Gov. It ain't her body. It isn't her body we're talking about here, Governor.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
He said he'd make the baby comfortable while they're making that decision.
Yeah. Make him give him, yep, make him comfortable. Give, drug him up, I suppose, huh? Put a blanket
hey,
over
Coach.
Him. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. He also that's the same mentality you do with the Jews before they put them in the gas chambers. Make them comfortable.
The exact same thing. Go ahead, Joe.
He said that the baby would be resuscitated. So it's sitting there lying, breathing.
Joe, this is amazing. This is amazing in America we're allowing this to happen. Okay, Jared. Hey, David Arthur, thanks, David, for getting that to me because I meant to talk about it and didn't get a chance. Okay,
well, he's a doctor also, too.
He's a doctor. Yeah, he's a doctor, right? Yep. A woman. By the way, most of these abortion decisions are being made by men. Man, got to get those men the hell out of it. Yeah, we don't want men telling people they can't kill women, can't kill babies. That makes me want to puke. So, listen, here's where we are, folks. I'm gonna show you something that I don't think you've ever seen. Here was the theme of my show today. Lawlessness. We're lawless. America's lawless. What does the Bible say about lawless? Jared's got it up there on the screen. Got questions. I always go there. To be lawless is to be contrary to the law or to act without regard to the law. Now stop a minute. What law? Whose law? To murder a baby is not only lawless in the country, it's lawless in the world. It's lawless by God. It says laws are necessary in a sinful world, and those who choose to act lawlessly further sin in the world. The word for lawless in the Bible is often translated iniquity. And according to the Bible, the root of all lawlessness is rebellion. 1 John 3:4 defines sin as lawlessness. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawless. To commit sin is to be lawless. That is, a sinner breaks God's law. In this way, lawlessness is a rejection of God. Satan, who models the ultimate rejection of God, will one day empower the Antichrist. I could debate that one. The lawless one will rise to power, will be in accordance with how Satan works. Time out. Is a spirit of lawlessness, folks. Get Antichrist out of your stinking head, will you? The spirit of lawlessness is already at work. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. It is a lawless Antichrist spirit. It is already at work. And quit sitting around and waiting for the Antichrist. His children are already here. Lawlessness is contrast with righteousness in the Bible. The righteous who have the nature of Jesus Christ hate the deeds of the lawless. Lot, a godly man living in Sodom, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Let me ask you something. Are you tortured? Are you tormented by the lawless? Are you tormented by what they're doing to babies? Why aren't you tormented by that? The psalmist said, I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Christians are to be law-abiding. How can you sit beside those who are pro-abortion? How can you do that? When a society ignores the law, lawlessness is the result. The time of the judges after Joshua's death was marked by upheaval, oppression, and general disorder. Can you say good old U.S. of A? The biblical historian put his finger on the reason for the tumult. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Lawlessness. The riot in Ephesus is a good example of lawlessness in action. The rioters were confused and unsure of even what they were rioting about. Oh, my goodness. In their lawlessness, they were ignoring proper legal channels and, of course, breaking the law. So God has a purpose for establishing human government, and that's for what? To punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Rulers are God's appointees to maintain order and promote righteousness in a civil society. Consequently, whosoever rebels against the authorities, rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. By the way, a misunderstanding of Romans 1. Government, if government is not righteous, we are not to obey dishonest government. We are not to obey unrighteous government. I'm going to say it again more slowly. It is a sin to obey unrighteous government. We learned in the Nuremberg trials when they brought those leaders, those guards, those Nazis who killed the people, and they asked him, why did you do it? They gave him the same answer that Cool Hand Luke got from the guard in the prison in where was that, Alabama? Just doing my job, boss. Just doing my job. And Luke said to him, calling it your job, don't make it right. And it's the exact same thing they said at the Nuremberg trials. If they give you an order to murder people, don't follow that order. Wow. Boy, I'll do a teaching on that. In other words, lawlessness is condemned. It's better to obey. We are to obey God rather than man. God says, choose life. That's what we ought to be. We can't be with a government that chooses death. Folks, can't you see that? Can't you see that? That can two walk together lest they agree? We cannot continue to coexist in a government that wants to kill babies. We cannot call ourselves Christian and walk hand in hand with that. We cannot even support that. I believe this. We cannot even support that with our tax dollars. I'm sorry. You cannot say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I paid for all those abortions. I'm sorry that I paid for that money to go to Planned Parenthood. But, Lord, it was taxes, and I had to pay my taxes. The Lord's going to say, what? You paid taxes? Say they kill babies? What's wrong with you, the Lord's going to say. Well, Lord, just doing my job. God, you've been so missed. Yes.
And just to let you know, the little church in the garage that we're having here in our area, discussion was brought up by Pastor Bill, and he'll probably be getting with you here real soon. The Lord's laid this on his heart, and the words that were coming out of his mouth were, there has to be justice, and the word rescues even come up in the conversation. Maybe it's time to go back to it. But he's got some things he wants to do. We're ready to get rock and roll, and so he'll probably be getting in contact with you.
All right. Hey, Jeff, the hell you think we've been doing? What do you think we were doing in Wisconsin? What do you think we've been doing in Texas?
I understand that, but I'm just saying, I understand that, but he's saying even ramping it up more.
Scroll on down farther, Jared. Lawlessness is condemned in Scripture. What is lawlessness? Hey, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. The Bible connects man's lawlessness and rebellion against God with his need for God's forgiveness. I'm going to quit going through it. We understand what lawlessness is. I'm going to show you something. Jared, click on preamble.
Hey, Coach. Coach, while he's going, Jared's going there. And you know, Brother, this boils my blood. But you know, the hearing that parrot talk from officers and legislative people saying, I'm just doing my job, I'm just doing my job, they're going to be the ones shaking their fist when God comes and does his job. because when he comes and does his job with justice, he is going to come and smash them like earthen vessels with a rod of iron, brother. And they're going to hate that because they're going to be pleading for mercy. And God could look at them and say, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job.
There you go, man. Yeah, when they bring those angels in to reap them, right? They're just doing my job, baby. Sorry. I'm just following orders from the commander-in-chief here. Think about it, coach.
One angel is going to strike 70,000 people for David counting his men. I'm just doing my job. What are you going to do? See, David got it right. I would rather fall in the hands of God than in the hands of my enemy. We think somehow that we can be the enemy of God and we're okay.
I'm telling you, bud, it's a great deception.
Hey, coach.
Yes.
You know, coach, this ties into Romans 13. You know, that was written to Christians. And so, absolutely, Paul was never saying we're to obey ungodly government that violates God's laws and principles.
Of course not. But see, those cowardly pastors tell us, well, we've got to obey the government. No, not if they're killing babies. We don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. To obey man Amen. Rather than God is lawlessness. So I looked up, hang on here a second. I looked up the word preamble in Webster. Jared, you don't have to. It says the introduction to a discourse or writing. A preamble is a introduction to a discourse or writing. The introductory part of a statute which states the reason and intent of the law. So in the preamble to the Constitution, it states what the purpose of the Constitution is. All right? So here's the preamble to the Constitution. Because see, they want to tell us that the Declaration of Independence was not a formal document because there wasn't any government. It was just people who got together and rebelled. And then after the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it wasn't until 1791 that we ratified the U.S. Constitution. So therefore, the Declaration of Independence doesn't really have anything to do with the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence is not a governmental document. You follow me? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator, certain inalienable rights, among them life, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So the Declaration of Independence was a mission statement for a government that was not yet formed. But they still, the liars like to tell us it's not a formally religious document. So we know that, because see, when we say there's a right to life, it's right in the Declaration. They say, yeah, it is in the Declaration. That's not a legal document. Not a legal document. They are of it. So the preamble to the Constitution, the preamble is the introductory portion that explains why they're doing what they're doing. Can I show you here, give you a little lesson? We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. That's the first thing that the Constitution does. It establishes justice. It ensures domestic tranquility. By the way, we could click on each one of those things and it would tell us what they are. We're going to do that in a minute. It will provide for the common defense. It will promote the general welfare. By the way, we now provide welfare and promote defense. We flip those two around. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And right there it is. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Jared, click on posterity. What's it say? Posterity. Future generations. All of a person's descendants. So therefore, my boys and girls, the preborn are protected in the Constitution. Right there it is. All of a person's descendants. So we have to fight the fight smarter. I wonder if any, Roger, I don't know if Roger's in, is any, you think any attorney anywhere has ever argued abortion based on that statement? I don't think so. Jared, click on ordain. What does that mean to ordain? ordained, to order by or as if by decree. So therefore, they order, they decree that this applies to our posterity. You guys with me picking up what I'm laying down here?
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you share that the change has been from if the baby is threatened to the woman's life versus health? Have you shared that?
No, I have not. Or maybe, so, no, go ahead.
Yeah, these laws, they're talking about the woman's health. So, Denny, at 8 a.m. in the morning, when Coach is coming, we're all getting ready to show up in his huddle, he calls one of the senators. And that senator showed up by about 9. He had prepared a speech, a very brief speech, and one of the things he shared, as with lethal injection that's being banned for adults, he shared that these lethal injections in the womb are certainly authorized, as well as the whole idea behind the woman's health is what is in question, not her life, her health. So right, then he goes right into the different measures of how they do that, the measure of her health. Coach?
Yeah, that's right. So remember, folks, remember when they started this out, do you remember, come on now, remember Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton saying they want abortion to be what? Safe, legal, and rare. No, they don't. No, they don't. And now we're seeing it. All the things that they told us about the pro-abortion movement, their intentions, that it was all lies. All of it was lies. And now we heard that in that elected official Tran, when they were talking to her, she immediately went to mental health. I don't feel like having that baby today. I don't feel like I'm a woman. I don't feel like I'm a man. I don't feel. So what we have is lawlessness. And isn't it amazing, Jared, that I have my Bible flopped open right here to Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. Oh, I wish I could read this. I'm going to read it. Take verse 4, Jared.
Well, Coach, your answer to the question about this being debated in court, you know and I know, it is the penumbra that these guys have mystified, that twisting of the Constitution of the United States, the preamble, even though it says this, we think it meant this. When they look at the posterity, they believe that we're talking about the children. We're talking about born children. So they, it's the penumbra. They're making something up that's not there.
That's right. They are, Dale, they are making something up that's not there and resisting something that is there. It is there. Posterity is there. Right to abortion isn't there. Stay with me here. Verse 24, Matthew. Jesus said unto them, see ye not unto Jared. Three's fine. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, hey, Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? I hope you're sitting down. And Jesus answered and said unto them, time out a minute. Somebody help me out. I wasn't real good in English. Who's them that he's referring to? I'm waiting. Who's them?
The disciples,
the listener.
They came up and they sat down. They asked him a question and he answered unto them. Right?
The disciples.
Yeah. What do you say? He says, take heed that no man deceive you.
Exactly. He's not talking to everybody else. He's talking to us now, the church.
To you. What? For many shall come in my name, saying I'm a Christ, and shall deceive many. Who's he talking to? The disciples. They say, how are we going to know, Lord, that this is the end is near? And he says, because they're going to say to you, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to those of us who are surrounding and loving Israel today? Is that who he's talking to? And he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things that must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. When? They're going to see it, he says. You, in kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you. Who's he talking to? Up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, disciples, and you, disciples, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then because iniquity, sin shall abound, lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this kingdom shall be preached into all of the world for a witness, unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I'm not going to get into theology, and I'm not going to get into eschatology, but he was talking to a very specific group of people when he tells them this. And we know, he said, in nutshell, shall not be one stone not thrown down. There won't be one stone left here. And boys and girls, it wasn't. And it happened. So we have to be very, very careful, despite what we've been taught in our theology, to take a situation where he's speaking to a specific group of people and translate that thing 2,000 years into the future to see this happening now. That's not what he said.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach. I don't care what the rest of you think. I can think.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, something that Charles taught me several years ago is there's two aspects when we're reading scripture. Number one is interpretation. Number two is application. And so, and what most churches today, they just do application. But interpretation is important because that means what was going on at that specific time. Who was Jesus talking to? Who was the author talking to? What were the surrounding circumstances? Then after that, it's okay if you properly apply it to today. But if I found, Coach, if I interpret the scriptures properly, you know what? It's hard then to give a really bizarre application that's just way out there.
Amen. So Jared, let's stay right there. Come on, stay with me, folks. So is he speaking to the disciples, right? Go ahead.
It's key in verse 10, Coach. We kind of overlook that because we see all this other stuff going on. But in verse 10, it says, in that time, many will fall away and deliver up one another. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to, brother? Who's being sold out by who? Who's really selling us out, brother, when we go to visit a church and ask them to come out and petition and go to the clinics with us? Who's throwing us out? Two of my arrests have been because of churches. Thrown out because of churches.
Amen. And I'm a pastor. Scroll down, Jared. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to finish this horse. When you see, therefore, the abomination of desolation spoken of the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, where? In Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and woe to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight might not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as is not seen since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should not be no flesh saved. But for the sex lake, the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say, lo, lost it there. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there he is, don't believe it. For there arise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were elect, were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Who's he talking to? Behold, I've told you before. They say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Don't go out there. He's in secret chambers. Don't believe it. For as the lightning come out of the east and shine even unto the west, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man be. I could go on and on and on. We are. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'll shut up. Hey, read what's there and don't read what's not there. Read what's there and don't read what's not there. What have I got here? So lawlessness, we are in a nation of lawlessness. Is there, my friends, a law? Well, I hate to repeat it, but I have to. Can somebody explain to me very quickly how a law is made?
Congress comes together, House of Representatives, Senate. They both have a bill. They hash it out. The bill gets passed from the House to the Senate. Both sign it. It is then brought to the president's desk. He signs it. It becomes law. But the caveat is the weighing out of the heavier matter is if it violates the Constitution, even if it's been passed, it becomes a lawless law.
Null and void. Remember what I showed you, Jared? Go to the Declaration of Independence real quickly. I'm sorry if you feel like I'm all over. I am all over the place. I'm trying to show you that lawlessness happens in many different ways. These were the things that they griped about, and they talked about. This is when they, July 4th, 1776, these guys are mad, and they're going to separate from the King of England. Go on down, Jared, because he's going to talk about pretended legislation. Where is that? Keep going, Jared. I'm reading as you're doing. To provide new grants, blah, blah, blah. Mr. President, let me say it. Keep going, Jared. Keep going. He refused to assent to laws. He forbidden the government's ban. Then thought he neglected. He refused on them. For some sole presentation and calls others. Like officials exercise state remaining. Things without a convulsion, endeavor to prevent the propagation, refuse to pass out any raising the condition. He's obstructed, but keep going. Erected, harass. Hang on there, Jared. He's erected to the multitude, erected a multitude of, of new offices and swarms of out people out to harass our people and eat out their substance. There it is. He's kept among us in time soldiers. He's affected the rich. He's combined others to subject us to jurisdiction. To other constitutions unacknowledged by our laws, quartering troops, mock trials, punishment, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and says somewhere here, pretended legislation. There it is. No, yep. I'm sorry. Pretended legislation. There it is. Hang on there. We're coming. And remind us the people, Mac, but eh. And what's pretended legislation? Keep looking for it. We're about out of time. Pretended legislation. Pretended legislation. Pretended legislation. What is it? Legislation they just tell us is law, and it's not law. We're operating, my friends, under there it is. Thank you, Jared. He's combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws. Giving his assent to their pretended legislation. What's legislation? Lawmaking. Roe versus Wade is pretended legislation. Obergefell versus Hodges is pretended legislation. Do you understand this, folks? Do you understand these are not laws? Do you understand that lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold? Somebody help me wrap this up. Needs tightened up.
Coach, that's been the great deception in our day. You're exactly right. We're calling something law that is clearly not law. And now the majority of our society won't do anything because they say that's a law. And that's you're right. That's our job, is to wake people up and make them realize this. We're not obeying laws. We're obeying opinions.
Folks, listen, I hate to tell you this as we're getting ready to run off. The income tax, pretended legislation. Never passed. It's pretended legislation. Because first of all, they're not allowed to do that. It's pretended legislation. And our churches are going to be the first ones going to stand in the pulpit and tell you, oh, you got to pay your taxes. Pretended legislation. No, we don't. Oh, I'm going to lose some of you now. We got to get to the root of it. We can't just nibble around the edges. We got to go to the heart of what the issue is. Pretended legislation, paying taxes to kill babies. Killing babies is lawless. It's unlawful. And they're taking our tax dollars and they're killing babies with it. And our churches are saying, pay your taxes. Be good citizens. Pay your taxes. God help us. Pretended legislation. We'll see you tomorrow.